gospel, chapter 15. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you, if you need to talk to one another to get a reference, or if you missed something, you're taking notes, that's okay. Amen? But just carry on conversation and visiting with folks you haven't seen all week. It's as unacceptable as unwrapping candy from this point on. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen? Glory be to God. My pastor, for the last 15 years of his life, my pastor was Dr. Lester Summerall from South Bend, Indiana. I don't know if you know Brother Summerall or not. Amen? Dr. Lester Summerall is a mentor in my life. 15 years, as I said, the last 15 years of his life, he was my pastor, Barbara's pastor. Amen? And I was visiting on the telephone with a minister friend yesterday down in Florida. And he said, Brother John, I ever tell you about the time I had lunch with Brother Summerall and Thorpe Mitchell? I said, no, you didn't, Darrell. But I'd like to hear about it, amen? Thorpe Mitchell is a military pilot, and he retired, and he went to work for Brother Summerall, and he flew Brother Summerall's Gulfstream jet, and he also flew Brother Summerall's C-130 cargo transport airplane. Brother Summerall had a C-130 where he could load an orphanage, all the materials for an orphanage inside. But see, a C-130 aircraft, it's a flying semi-truck, amen? He was the first civilian to get approval by the government to purchase one, and he purchased it from the Peruvian government. George Bush Sr. gave him permission to buy it, amen? He did tremendous things. He's in heaven now, amen? Well, Thorpe Mitchell was his pilot. He flew his big plane, and he flew his little jet. He took Brother Summerall everywhere Brother Summerall needed to be around the world. I don't believe in preachers having jets. Well, you don't believe God. Brother Summerall raised up 2,200 churches in 200 nations. How's he going to oversee them flying commercially? It's not going to happen. Amen? Well, Brother Summerall and my friend Darrell and Thorpe Mitchell, Brother Summerall's pilot, were having lunch one day. My friend Brother Darrell was telling me this on the phone the other day. And he said, Brother Mitchell gave the testimony as they were all sitting there at lunch. He said, Darrell, one day I was in church with Brother Summerall. And we were in a church, I believe he said it was in Chicago. It was a great big church with a great big balcony. And there was a guy leaning over the balcony while Brother Summerall was preaching. And he fell off the balcony. And he said it was exceedingly high. And as Brother Summerall was preaching, he saw him fall off the balcony. And he shouted, stop in Jesus' name! And the man stopped in midair. Now here's Thorpe Mitchell, his pilot, giving this testimony to my personal friend and brother, Darrell Alexander, in front of Brother Summerall. He said that man stopped in midair and walked down to the floor like he was on stairs. I believe it. Of course we believe it. Brother Hagen has stepped off the platform in midair. 3, 4, 5 steps out, turned around, came walking right back on the platform. Dr. Ed Dufresne has done it. Dr. Summerall, another time, brought a mother brought his little boy into his office. Brother Summerall walked in the miraculous man. He's a true apostle of God. He's a preacher and teacher of God's word, and he had the signs following that accompany the office of an apostle. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Mother brought her little boy into the Brother Summerall's office, and they sat on the opposite side of Brother Summerall's desk. And he said, how can I help you, ma'am? And she said, my little boy keeps disappearing. And so Brother Summerall said, what do you do that for? What do you run away from your mother like that for? She said, no, Brother Summerall, you don't get it. He disappears. He doesn't run away. He disappears. He vanishes. And Brother Summerall said, I looked at the boy. I was going to ask him, why you do something like that? And he disappeared. Brother Summerall said, you come back here in Jesus' name. He reappeared. Brother Summerall cast a demon spirit out of that boy that enabled him to do that and taught the boy's mother her Christian authority. She said, he said, you need to tell that demon that causes that boy to literally vanish from sight You tell that demon he's got no part, no lot in your boy's life anymore, and this won't happen anymore. So she did, and he never vanished again. The disappearing boy. You believe it?
Yes.
Listen, we're believers, amen?
Amen?
Satan is as real as God. He's not as powerful as God, but he can pull some pretty supernatural stunts, amen, to lead people to believe that he is as powerful as God. How about, what's her name? Teresa Villanueva in Manila, Philippines, when Brother Summerall was building it. She was putting up a B-52 hangar after the Second World War that he had purchased from the United States government. He was putting it up. Him and his sons, they purchased the steel from the government, rented a crane, and him and his three boys were building a B-52 hangar to hold meetings in Manila, Philippines. That building's still there going strong. Even though Brother Summerall's in heaven, his nephew, David Searle, is still pastor in that church. Well, he's putting that bomber up, and he heard some on, they had the radio on, they heard somebody screaming on the radio. Aah! Pretty demonstrative, huh? Amen. And Brother Summerall listened, and he realized there was a girl in the Manila prison who was being bitten by demons, and they were broadcasting it on the radio. And he decided, I need to go down there. These people don't know what they're doing. They're thinking that this is a joke. She's being bitten by demon spirits. It was in all the newspapers. You picked up a newspaper. It said, the guards look at the girl, and there's nobody around, and all of a sudden, bite marks appear in her hands and her arms and legs, and she begins to bleed and scream. She could see the demons when they were coming, but nobody else could see them. She'd push up against the back of her cell and say, oh, there he is, and stop bleeding. Brother Summerall said, I need to go down there and help her. These clowns, they're playing around broadcasting this, trying to sell beans on the radio while this girl's being tormented by demon powers. He went down there to cast the demon spirit out of her. Well, he went down there and it didn't manifest. He waited around all day, nothing. He was waiting for it to manifest so that he could cast that spirit out of her. Didn't manifest. The Lord told him, you go home and you fast and pray for 3 days, and when you come back, it'll manifest, and then you cast it out of her. Well, he went home and he fasted and he prayed. Remember, Jesus said, this kind comes out only by fasting and prayer. Had to do a little bit of fasting. He went back. The girl screamed. There he is. The newspaper reporters are there. The radio station is there, all wanting to broadcast this. He got permission to go in there and pray for her. Well, he gets down there. She starts screaming again. There he is. And lo and behold, the bite marks appeared in her arms and her hands, and she started bleeding. Brother Summerall very simply said, come out in Jesus' strong name. And that spirit stopped biting her. And the girl said she saw it run out the window. And he taught her authority over Satan and demon powers. You know, the Bible says in James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. She never came back again. She came back, the demon never came back to the girl again. The girl came back to her right mind. She said, I saw it go out the window. He taught her how to keep that demon off of her. It was covered in all the newspapers and by radio the day he cast that spirit out of that girl and sent that thing off. People came running as a result of that girl being delivered on Filipino national radio and the story covered in all the newspapers. Within the next 6 weeks, Brother Summerall baptized 150,000 people in the ocean who had all come out to Manila because they read about it and they heard about it on the radio and in the newspapers. He had to have Oral Roberts come and help him to baptize those people. Oral Roberts in Christ for the Nations, Gordon Lindsay, came out and helped him. It only took one miracle! And Brother Summerall led 150,000 people to the Lord and water baptized them. Now, what do you think of that? It only takes one miracle to manifest in our midst. And the people will come running to find out what's happening over there at the gathering. Now, granted, they'll come running to see what's going on. And we'll have to go out in the parking lot after them and sweep up the cigarette butts and the beer cans. But that's all right. When they come, we'll teach them about Jesus. We're believing God for miracles around here. You know how Brother Summerall was able to walk in the miraculous the way that he was? He was the most disciplined probably the most disciplined of all charismatic leaders to ever walk in the earth. He was a highly disciplined man. He was a disciplined man, and he was an obedient man. Brother Summerall knew that obedience always sets the stage for the miraculous. See, we don't want to be part of the dirty church around here. We want to live right. We don't want to live as little rebels before God. We're going to live right. We're going to experience the supernatural, and folks are going to come running, and we're going to point them to Jesus. Amen? But it's not going to happen if we live in rebellion. Amen? It's not going to happen if we live in rebellion. Let me read a quote to you from Dr. Kenneth Hagin, my mentor for the past 28 years. The first Christian book I ever picked up when I was delivered from drug and alcohol addiction. Actually, a woman right up the road here in Lexington, Massachusetts, handed me a book by Kenneth Hagin called The Ministry of the Prophet. It was the first Christian book I ever read. I hooked up with that man from that day, and I'm still hooked up with him today, even though he's in heaven. Amen? I received the man as a prophet of God. He said in his book that he wrote in 1993, in the book called He Gave Gifts Unto Men, you ought to pick that book up if you can by Dr. Hagin. Brother Hagin said this. He said there is nothing more lacking in the charismatic movement than commitment, consecration, and respect for the things of God. 70 years in ministry, that man. He preached the gospel for 70 years till he was 86 years old. And he said, in all my experiences, in America in particular, he said, there's one thing that I see consistently across the board. There's nothing more lacking in the charismatic movement, that's us, than commitment, consecration, and respect for the things of God. That's not a good report, amen? That's not a report that we're going to receive here at the gathering, amen? We are committed. We are consecrated. We are dedicated to the things of God, to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God, to the gifts of the Spirit, and to obedience to the Trinity. Amen? Amen. Say, I'm committed.
I'm committed.
I don't want to be part of the dirty church. You know what I mean by the dirty church? I'm talking Christians who live in sin. They fornicate on Saturday and in these chairs on Sunday. That's the dirty church. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. Everybody in this room is adult enough to know that, except Jerry, and his daddy will teach him. Amen? You know what sin is. We all know what sin is in here. Amen? There's no room for sin. No room for sin. We're not going to be part of the dirty church. Amen? Brother Summerall was not used of God to perform the miracles the way that he was. And Brother Hagin was not used of God to reach the world and to see the miracles that man saw in his ministry the way that he did, and the way he was used, by being part of the dirty church. Amen? These guys live lives free of sin. And as soon as they did anything that even came close to needing repentance, they were quick to forgive, quick to repent, and quick to keep on believing God. Amen? Say, that sounds like me. Say, I'm quick to forgive. I'm quick to repent. And I'm quick to believe. Amen? Rebellion never birthed revival. Amen? Rebellion never birthed revival. If anybody has a question, you're going to have to hang on to it, because we're recording the message and the folks on the recording can't hear the question. They can only hear me answering it, and they think I lost my mind. I sound like I lost it there for a minute, amen? Because you can't hear the question, amen? But I'm willing to answer any questions at any other time when I'm not recording it, amen? Hallelujah. Rebellion never births revival. It's obedience that spawns the anointing. It's obedience that spawns revival, amen? God's been speaking to us around here about explosive growth. You know, I've said this time and time again in the past year. Reverend Jim Dykes came through here a year ago on his way from preaching out in the Brazilian churches for 3 weeks out in the islands. He came through here, spent 2 nights with us. We got together for 2 days, had a glorious time in the Lord, and then he had to go back to North Carolina. He's on his way to India next week. As a matter of fact, you know that if you haven't seen that in the bulletin, you pick up a bulletin, you read about Brother Dykes. When he was here 11 months ago, he said to me, I believe the Lord told me to tell you, within 1 year's time, we take it as 1 year from that word now, amen? Within 1 year's time, God's going to add to you explosive growth. We're a month away from that, amen? And we're not going to allow anything to hinder that, are we? Rebellion will hinder that. Can you tell them what I'm going to be talking about today? Hallelujah. I'm going to be talking about obedience to God's word, amen? It's time for us to lay down our rebellious lives and pick up our authoritative lives. Amen? Rebellion grieves the Spirit of God. Lying grieves the Spirit of God. Fornication grieves the Spirit of God. Adultery grieves the Spirit of God. Alcohol consumption, drug consumption, grieves the Spirit of God. Tobacco grieves the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, God's not mad at you if you use alcohol, if you smoke cigarettes. Amen. He's offering to deliver you the same way He delivered me. Amen. But we got to be willing to let the Lord change our hearts and break our habits. Amen. We don't want to be connected with the dirty church, the church that lives in sin. Monday through Saturday. And they're in church Sunday lifting their hands and praising Him, believing for the supernatural. It doesn't happen that way. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, Pastor, I really love you, man. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you like it is. I don't want to see anybody be in trouble. Amen. We need to understand today that part-time obedience is full-time disobedience. Part-time obedience is full-time disobedience. Amen. We're not supposed to believe God when it's easy and then not believe and obey God when it's difficult. We believe and we obey God when it's easy, and we believe and obey God when it's difficult. He graces us, amen? And we run to Him when we blow it. We don't run from Him. I'm not saying that you can live a mistake-free life, because if you could, you wouldn't need Jesus. Amen? We're all going to make mistakes, including the pastor. Amen? And I don't need anyone coming and reminding me of that. I'm the preacher around here, nobody else. Amen? I got folks coming preaching to me. I don't need it. I ain't doing nothing wrong. Amen? And you're not my pastor. I got my pastor. If I'm doing something my pastor needs to tell me, he'll tell me. Amen? Oh, you're coming on strong. Well, what do you want up here? A panty waist? Woohoo. You want strength or you want weakness? I'm telling you, from submitting to Brother Summerall the years that I did, and Brother Hagin, I got an anointing of strength on my life. I don't know how else to preach the gospel except strong and loud. Amen? It's just part of my mystique. Hallelujah. And I ain't afraid of no devil, and I ain't afraid of standing up against sin. To stand up against sin. Amen? And I'm not afraid to say sin is wrong. And I'm not afraid to repent when I make a mistake and fall down. Amen? We always tell folks, when you blow it, you need to know God still loves you as much as He loves Jesus. And you need to run to Him and not away from Him. You run to Him. That's what He is all about. Hallelujah. Do I know this brother in the back here? Do I know you? Hallelujah. He just looks so familiar. Amen. It's Jesus in his eyes, apparently. Amen. Hallelujah. There's just a familiarity there in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to your Bibles, if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 15. While I read to you Proverbs chapter 12 in the Amplified Bible. You there in 1 Samuel 15? Hallelujah. Barbara's there. Everybody else is. You've had time. If you haven't found 1 Samuel 15 by now, you're not going to find it. Amen. I'm going to read to you Proverbs 12:1 from the Amplified Bible. It says, whosoever loves instruction and correction loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is like a brute beast, stupid and indiscriminating. He who hates correction is stupid and indiscriminating. Say, I ain't stupid. Come on, let me hear you say, I ain't stupid. I receive correction when I need it. Amen. I'm going to read to you. You know, King Saul, he wasn't open to correction. Everything had to be his way. Amen. He had a prophet assigned specifically to him to lead him and guide him in the way that he should go. Over 48 years of leading Israel as their king, he could not get the obedience thing down, baby. He just couldn't seem to do it. He lived in disobedience. He lived in rebellion. And he paid dearly. He paid with his life. He lost his kingdom. He lost his anointing. He lost his children. His babies died over his rebellion. And he finally lost his life. All because he was too proud to submit to the prophet of God, to the word of God, and to the spirit of God. He couldn't keep his word. He'd say he'd do something, wouldn't do it. Say he wouldn't do something, turn right around and do it. His word was no good. Do you know that Psalm 15 says, talking about the power of keeping your word? Nothing against Dorothy, just because I'm looking at her. Never broken her word to me. Blessed is the man who sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. That means when you give your word to do something, you flat do it. If you can't, you go back to the party that you offended and you explain yourself. And you ask for forgiveness. Blessed, say blessed.
Blessed,
say blessed.
Blessed,
say blessed.
Blessed.
Is the man who sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. Amen? Did you get that? Blessed is the man or the woman. Did somebody just ask me a woman question? No? Because I'm including women. You know me. You know that I know, and I know that you know, if you're a woman, you're a man. You're a man with a womb, you're a womb man. You get that? The Bible's talking to women as well as to men. Blessed is the man, with or without a womb, who sweareth to their own hurt and change not. Some people in this room need to learn the importance of keeping your word. When you say you'll do something, do it. Or you're blocking the spot where the power comes out. Things will stop happening for you and start happening to you again if you give your word to do something and then you just don't flat bother to do it. Everybody say, woo!
Woo-hoo!
Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's how Saul got in trouble. Amen. That's how a lot of folks get in trouble, amen? If you give your word and don't keep it, you're busting the stitches on your britches. 1 Samuel chapter 15, amen? Hallelujah. Payday's coming. Hallelujah. We're going to read this together. Hallelujah. It would be funny if it wasn't true. Amen? We're going to read some verses together, amen? Now, some of you folks, you haven't really had opportunity to read your word this week like you'd like to. So we're going to catch up this morning. And we're going to read an account here. I'm just going to preach to you by inspiration of the Holy Spirit here today. I brought some things with me. I've prepared myself. But I'm impressed the Holy Spirit's just going to be taking me in the direction that even I'm not acquainted with this morning. Amen? So you just get ready. You're about to be blessed. Amen? You're about to do some repenting and to see the power turned up in your life. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sorry for the folks who aren't here because they need it too. Amen? Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to read some verses here. You hold steady. Say, I can do this. I'm graced to do this. I came here to do this. I want to know the word. I want to walk in the glory. So I can do this. And I will do this. Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me in verse 1 to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for Israel in the way when he came up from Egypt. They snuck up behind Israel and attacked them from the rear, and Israel never did anything to the Amalekites. Now God says it's payday. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all. Please say utterly destroy all. That they have, and spare them not. Say, spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Amen? They're just going to hell anyway. They're just reproducing and going to hell. This was an act of mercy. God was tired of them just living and dying and going to hell. Living and dying and going to hell. He said, enough is enough. Stop it. They're populating hell. Now you go and you destroy them all, and all the animals, the women and the children too, they just grow up to be heathens and reject me. Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley to do what he was told to do, wipe them all out, wipe out the Amalekites. Saul said unto the Kenites, go and depart, get yourself down from the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, because you've shown kindness to the children of Israel. And when they come up out of Egypt, I don't want to destroy you too. So the Kenites got the heck out of Dodge and departed from amongst the Amalekites. Amen? Hallelujah. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. He'd given them a whipping. And look what he did. He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. What did God tell him to do? What did God tell him to do? Destroy them all. Look, he took them alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag. Agag, that's rebellion. And the best of the sheep, and the best of the oxen, and the best of the fatlings and lambs, and all that was good, and they would not utterly destroy them. The prophet said by the Spirit of God, utterly destroy them all. Rebellion, rebellion, rebellion. But everything that was vile and refuse, oh, they destroyed that. They kept the good stuff. Amen? Sound like obedience to you? Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repents me that I've set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel the prophet, and he cried unto the Lord all night. He knew what it meant. He knew Saul was about to lose his kingdom for his flat, open rebellion and disobedience. And when Samuel arose early to meet Saul the next morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul. And Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. Religious talking. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Look up here if you would, please. Did he perform the commandment of the Lord? What is this? What is this? What is it? He lied to the prophet about his disobedience. That's what most people do today. They get caught doing something they shouldn't have done. They don't do something they said that they would do. And the first thing they do is lie and blame shift and make excuses. Amen? But not at the gathering. Because the pastor stands up and speaks again. Amen? Hallelujah. And Samuel said, oh, you have? You've performed the commandment of the Lord? Then what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Weren't you supposed to kill all of them? Saul said, oh, they have... Who? They, the people. I didn't do it. The people did it. You're the leader, for the love of Mike. And he said, the people did it. The people spared them. At your command, Saul. Amen. Hallelujah. From the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to you, God. We did it for you. We disobeyed for your benefit, God. And we're even lying about it, God, to your glory. That's the dirty church. It's not going to happen at the gathering. Amen. That's what people do, though. They get busted for wrongdoing. They lie. They blame shift. It's everybody else's fault but theirs. Listen, did you give your word? Or did you not give your word? Does the Bible say to do something and you're not doing it? Does the Bible say to not do something and you keep doing it? It's nobody else's fault. Amen? Just go and repent to God for it. It won't be the first he hears of it. He knew it all along. Some people are so afraid to repent for wrongdoing before God, they're afraid it's going to be the first time he finds out. God's omniscient. He's all-knowing. Hallelujah. If you're under conviction right now, I thank God for it. Amen? Because all you have to do is say, Father, you forgive me, I'll make it right. And he'll pat you on the behind, and he'll re-anoint you. He'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and he'll tell you, let's go hit it again. Let's get it right this time. Amen? And he'll turn the power up in your life. Amen? Samuel said to Saul, stay, and I'll tell you what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said to him, well, go ahead, say on, tell me. And Samuel said, when thou was little in thine own sight, meaning before you get into pride, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel when you were humble, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? You get anything out of this yet? There's enough help just in what I've said. There's enough help for those in this room, just in what I've already said, to set you free and to turn the power up in your life tenfold. Amen? Hallelujah. The Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He tried lying one more time. The prophet called him on his lie for his disobedience. What did he do? Tried lying again. Sound like some of us? Listen, when you're caught in a lie, just repent. I heard Kenneth Copeland. This is on recording, so I can say it. He said it. He stood up one time early in his ministry, and he said something that wasn't true, right in the middle of his preaching. And he stopped himself, and he said, hold it right there. I just lied to you. In the pulpit in front of thousands of people. He said, that was a lie. That was exaggeration. That was embellishment. That is a lie. Now you just forgive me for that. Father, you forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness in Jesus' name. And then he stood there and walked out his forgiveness and continued to preach his sermon. If he can do that in public, why can't we do it in private? Well, we can. And we do. Amen? Nobody in here is in trouble that I know of. Amen? What verse are we at? Barbara, help me out. Baby doll. Oh, glory be to God. Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I've gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I've brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. That is not what he told him to do. See, I ain't no liar. You can say ain't in this church. I give you permission. Amen? Hallelujah. So I'm not a liar. Satan is a liar. He's not my daddy anymore. God is my father. Truth is my father. I submit to truth and to truth alone. And when I blow it, I got the brass to make it right in Jesus. I know God's talking to people in this room this morning. Not just one people, not two people. Multiple people. Amen. Amen? If we want to see the power flow, we're going to have to walk in honesty. And when we blow it, just repent and get right up and move forward. Amen. God is not nearly as concerned with the falling down as he is with the getting up. Amen. It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to be wrong, but it's not okay to stay wrong when you see that you are wrong. Amen. Now that's good preaching. Amen. You won't hear that in the dirty church. The dirty church doesn't preach this way. They skirt around those things. They skirt around the trouble. They skirt around the sin. And they brando sigi perado seke peridega. They give tongues and interpretations and prophecies out of hell. Well, come on now. Well, come on. Hallelujah. Not going to happen here. Now, listen, the Bible says despise not prophesying. We're into tongues and interpretation. We're into the utterance gifts, power gifts, revelation gifts. They're all free to move here, but not the counterfeits. We want the real. Amen. And that's why we're going to live right around here. Amen? Amen? And that's why when the pastor asks you to please stop reading and look up here, I want to tell you something. You put your heads up and you stop reading and you look up here and you don't keep reading to defy me. I had people, remember last week I had to bring that word? That wasn't easy. Wasn't easy for me to do. It's not easy for a daddy to spank the kids, but it's got to be done. Amen? I had people come and apologize to me after that.
Praise God,
Pastor. So I'm guilty of that, Pastor. I won't do that again. You forgive me. Had another one come say, Pastor, as soon as you said it, I knew I was guilty, and I stopped. I said, I know, I saw you. And I saw the ones who defied me and grieved the Spirit of God and kept on reading, bless God, no one's going to tell me, not even God, that I can't read my Bible in church. That's a spirit of lawlessness and rebellion. I can't make you stop reading, but when I ask you to, you should. Amen?
Amen.
Let's not block the spout where the power comes out.
Yes.
Hallelujah. How am I doing up here today? Hallelujah. Haven't even finished reading our text scripture. And already I can tell the power is being turned up.
Hallelujah.
People repenting in their hearts. Hallelujah. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How, say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I love you.
I love you.
It's Pastor.
Pastor.
I love you too.
I love you.
Let's keep on reading. Amen. The people did it. The people did it. Listen, when you're wrong, don't blame other people. Just you're wrong. That's all. I'm wrong. That's what I do to Barbara all the time. Amen. Barbara, I told you before, when she's wrong, she comes crawling to me on her hands and knees. And you know what she says to me? See, when I'm wrong and she's right, she comes crawling on her hands and knees, and she says, you get out from under that bed and you repent like a man. You all heard that one before. You think it's funny to hear it, you should see it in action. Hallelujah. But don't we practice that? When we're wrong, listen, you just forgive me. I could have done that better. You just forgive me, baby doll. I'm just wrong. I have no excuses. Doesn't matter who pushed me into it, what the circumstances. I'm wrong. I could have handled that better. I'm a man of God. She does the same thing. Amen. We're not telling you to put your feet somewhere we don't have to put our feet every day of our lives. Amen. Don't think strife never comes into our marriage. It tries to enter in every day. If you were the devil, who'd be the first one you'd come after in this room? Don't think we don't deal with it. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. The people did it. They took the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And Gilgal, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings? You disobeyed God and kept the sheep and the oxen to use as burnt offerings before God? You really think he's going to accept that? Does he have as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in, say, obeying? As in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Please say, to obey is better than anything I can do for the Lord. Obedience is better than any sacrifice you can give him. For rebellion, see, that's the opposite of obedience, is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. When you give your word to do something and you don't do it, and you stubbornly refuse to do it, you see what the Bible calls that? Idolatry. You're putting your will above God's will as if your will is a god. It's idolatry to put our will above God's will. Amen? When God tells you to do something you don't do and you lie about it, I never said I'd do that, Pastor. I've had multiple people do that to me. Make a commitment, change their mind, and accuse me of lying. What do you think that's going to get you with God? You lie to his servant, lie about his servant, amen. It's going to get you what it got Saul. Let's keep on reading, amen. Everybody say, whoo! Glad I ain't guilty of any of this. At least not anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. This is what the Lord put on my heart. Just read this. Come up here and read this. Amen.
Amen.
Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and I obeyed their voice. But look what it took for him to repent. Lying, denying, more lying, more denying. Listen, just the fur ball. You know the cat? Get it out! Just cough it up, get it out, and get it done with. Amen? The sooner the better. Everybody do the fur ball. Let's go. See, you can do it. If you can do that, you can repent when you're wrong. And look at, see, Terry? Repent! Repent, Terry! Okay, see, she's free. Hallelujah, she got free. Hallelujah. 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 Look what went on here. Saul said to Samuel, I've sinned, I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord in my words. I feared the people, I obeyed. I'm never going to do that. I'm going to tell you something. I am never going to obey you, so get used to it. I'm going to obey God. I've had people as recently as last night try to get me to bow my knee to their will and to go against the precious, holy, written word of God. It ain't going to happen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm going to love you. I'm going to be as nice as I can to you. As long as you're being nice to me, I'm going to be nice to you even when you're not being nice to me. But I bow my knee to the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and my job is to pull myself in line with His Word, not your will for me. I've had nutcases come through that door and tell me, thus saith the Lord, close down this church, open a Bible school, so that everybody on Cape Cod can benefit from what you're teaching without going to church. That's ignorance gone to seed. That's flaky than my mother's worst pie. Flakier than my worst pie my mama ever made. Amen? She made some bad pies, man. Hallelujah. Can you believe that? You can count on me to obey the word. You can count on me to be quick to repent. You can count on me to be quick to forgive. You can count on me to be quick to get right back, believe in the word of God if I stumble and get off it. You can count on me. I'm just a human being. I am not perfect. Jesus is the perfect man. Amen? When He called me to ministry, He didn't dehumanize me. He anointed me. Amen? And I am anointed to preach the gospel, not to live the gospel. I've got to go out there and bang around in the storms of life just like you. Every day I've got to make the decision not to sin. But if I can do it, you can do it. Hallelujah. I'm nobody special. Amen? Drug dealer, drug addict, alcoholic. Lord pointed down, looked at me. I was somewhere between 115 and 118 pounds over there crying in my underwear with $1,000 of cocaine in my bloodstream. And the Lord said, now that's a man we can use. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Master.
Ain't no way he can steal my glory. That's where I came from. I remember where I came from. Amen. Lord didn't raise me up because I'm better than anybody else. Amen. God called me to be the pastor because He's merciful, not because I'm special. I'm just trying to tell you this. I bang around out there just like you do every day. I have to say no to sin every day.
Yeah.
And I do. And you can do it by the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. You can use. You're a brand new creation that never existed before. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are seated at the Father's right hand in heavenly places. You have the right to use the name of Jesus against Satan and demon powers and expect results. Not because of anything you did, but because of what He did. As many as receive abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, they shall reign and rule in life by Christ Jesus. He's made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He's given us authority over sin, Romans chapter 6. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Rise up against it. Open your mouth and say to sin, no, in Jesus' name. I will not commit adultery. I have not committed adultery, and I've been accused of it by other pastors on Cape Cod. Well, I have been, and I'm not wrong to stand up here and tell you they're trying to get rid of me. Amen? Because they're the dirty church. And they like things the way that they are. I have not committed adultery. I am not a homosexual. My wife is not a lesbian. That's what they've said about us. Some of you sat in this room, while some of them, their representatives, came right in this room and busted up our meeting, spread propaganda against us, and went down and lied to the police department against us. Well, you know, listen, I'm not griping. I'm just telling you, guess who the devil's threatened by? He's threatened by Pastor John in the gathering because he knows the Word of God's being preached over there. That's what we're going to build on. Amen? We're not going to build on the gifts. We're not going to build on prophecy. We're not going to build on miracles. We're going to build on the Word. We believe in the gifts. We flow in the gifts, cooperate with prophecy and miracles. The Lord told me to preach last April. He said, you preach on miracles right through the end of the year. And believe it or not, that's what I'm preaching on this morning. Miracles and obedience. You want to see the supernatural occur in our midst? It's time to dump the little compromises. Amen? Time to unload the rebellious ways. Solomon said, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Jesus didn't drink wine. Jesus didn't drink wine. There's two... Looks like we're going into part two next week. You know there's two kinds of wine in the Bible? Fermented and unfermented. You know fermented wine is an aging process? Okay, it happens, it's a process of decay that occurs over time. When Jesus created wine at the wedding feast of Cana, which it never says he drank any to begin with, people take that verse out of Scripture and say, see, Jesus drank wine. I say, I don't see that in there. I see that he created wine, but not fermented wine that decayed over a process of time. He created unfermented wine. Grape juice! There's two kinds of wine in the Bible, fermented and unfermented. Do you know in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 8, make a note of it? Hallelujah. Maybe somebody could even find it. Amen. Go see if my scripture reference is right and then give me your Bible, Isaiah 65, 8. God calls grape juice while it's still in the grape, on the vine, wine. Did you hear what I said? He calls grape juice wine. There's two kinds of wine in the Bible. Fermented and unfermented. I'm helping people here today. Amen? People drinking wine, and you're blocking the spout where the power comes out.
Jesus.
It's wrong. Jesus. It's wrong. Anybody find that Isaiah 65:8? Or is it 68:5? Let me read it in the Amplified Bible, 65:8. May I? Sure. Thus saith the Lord, as the juice of the grape is found in the cluster, and one says, do not destroy it, for there's a blessing in it. So will I do to my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them. Now, what does the King James say in verse 8? As the what is found in the cluster? Somebody. The new wine is found in the cluster. See, still in the cluster, in the bunch, on the vine. Unfermented. Grape juice! Not wine. Jesus knew... You go over there, if you would, please, and you look in Leviticus chapter 10 in that Bible, if you would. I'm talking to you by inspiration of the Holy Ghost this morning. I didn't plan any of this today. Amen? I studied, but not to do this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. I stay in the Word to keep the anointing on my life. Amen? I study all week. It's not unusual. I study all week to go one way, come in here, go another. But the studying I did kept the anointing on me. Amen? What do you have right here? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Are you there in Leviticus chapter 10, anybody?
Amen.
We're talking about if you're going to drink wine, you're compromising, or any kind of alcohol at all, you're compromising the power. Jesus didn't drink wine, okay? He created unfermented wine at the wedding feast. Just because it says that the guy saved the best for last doesn't mean it was the most alcoholic. Where do people get these crazy ideas? I'll tell you where. From the devil. It's not biblical. Jesus did not drink wine. Jesus came as a prophet. He came to fulfill Levitical law. He never disobeyed Levitical law. For if he did, he's not our Savior. Do you understand that? He came as the fulfillment of Mosaic law. Levitical law. He obeyed the law of Moses, every jot and tittle. Okay? Look right here. I'm going to read from the Amplified. The Lord said to Aaron, verse 8. Thank you. Hallelujah. Aaron is the founder of the Levitical priesthood. Okay? Jesus is over Aaron. Jesus obeyed the law of Moses. Do not drink, in verse 9, wine or strong drink, meaning of any kind. You think Jesus broke this law?
No.
Ooh. Hallelujah. Maybe you have if you've been drinking booze. Amen? I'm not down on anybody. I'm up on everybody. That's why I got the brass to stand up here and tell you where the power comes out. Amen? You or your sons, when you go into the tent of meeting, lest you die, it shall be a statute forever in all your generations. It's unchangeable. You think Jesus violated this? Did Jesus drink wine? Did Jesus drink strong drink? Don't answer this question. Do you drink wine or strong drink? Because the Father's telling you today, you're giving up everything for one thing. If you'll give that to me, I'll give you my power and my glory. What's it going to be? What's it going to be? Bogan David or Son of David? What's it going to be? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know that cheap wine, Bogan David? How dare they put his name on that? How dare the devil put his name on that? Hallelujah. Okay. You shall make a distinction and recognize the difference between the holy in verse 10 and the common or unholy, and between the unclean and clean. What's he talking about? Strong drink. Strong drink and wine's unclean. Non-alcoholic is clean. He said we are to make a difference between the holy and the unclean. Listen, Jesus didn't come to purify booze. He came to purify you. Do you see what I'm saying? You tell me from Mosaic law, right here in Leviticus chapter 10, thank you to my lovely assistant, Barbara. Hallelujah. You tell me, did Jesus drink wine? Did Jesus go against Mosaic law? Then it could only be true that he created non-alcoholic wine at the wedding feast of Cana. God calls grape juice wine while it's still in the cluster on the vine. There's two kinds of wine in the Bible, fermented and non-fermented. Alcoholic and non-alcoholic. Ooh, baby. Hallelujah. Stand up if you would, please. Hallelujah. I just know you'll be back for part two next week. Amen. You see what happened to Saul? You see what God was trying to restore him by giving him opportunity to repent, and all he could do was lie and blame shift and make excuses and justify his sin. Hallelujah. I know no one's going to go out of here doing that today. Amen. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Say no more sin.
No more sin.
No more lying.
No more lying.
No more boozing.
No more,
no more cheating.
No more cheating.
No more compromise.
No more compromise.
No more breaking my word.
No more breaking my word.
I'm a man and a woman of God.
God.
When I give my word, I keep my word. Or I go and I ask forgiveness. And I make restitution in any way I can.
I am not a sinner.
I am not an old sinner saved by grace.
I am
the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation in Christ. I am seated at the Father's right hand in heavenly places. I am represented in the Trinity.
I am a person of power.
No more blocking the spout.
No more blocking the spout.
Where the power comes out.
With
rebellion.
Disobedience.
And compromise.
And compromise.
Now I want to say this to you as we're closing. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together with one another, especially as you see the day approaching. When you come to church when it's convenient, and you don't come when it's inconvenient, that is disobedience. Part-time obedience is full-time disobedience. Let's say it together. part-time obedience is full-time disobedience. Amen? I had a person just tell me just recently, the Lord knows I can't come to church, I got cats. That's how your excuses sound to me. When you say, well, I couldn't, I had to this, I had that, and then it just goes on and on and on. I know many of you are very, very faithful. Some of you need to get even more faithful. I'm trying to get the power turned up in your lives. Amen? And it's going to take consecration, commitment, and dedication to the Word of God. It is not possible to walk with God apart from His Word. The Word says, and I'm not getting down on anybody. Amen? I'm trying to bring you up, not knock you down. This is not the voice of condemnation. We need to learn the difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation's of the devil. Conviction's the Holy Ghost. This is the Holy Ghost saying, you know you can tighten up in that area. You know you can do better. And if you're an honest person, you'll say to yourself, that's right, Holy Spirit. Did you know the Bible says in Romans chapter 9, verse 1, that your conscience is the voice of the Holy Spirit? Don't ever say, I don't hear from God. Romans 9, 1, Paul said, my conscience bears witness with the Holy Ghost within me. Your conscience is the Holy Ghost. When you don't come to church just because you just didn't feel like, blessed is the man and woman who respond to their alarm clocks on Sunday morning the way they do on Monday morning. Did you hear that? That's a proverb. I just added it to the Bible. Amen? When you lay there in bed, you know you should be in church, and you're running off doing something that you think is even more spiritual than being in church, or you're up in the city because, after all, the Lord understands I don't get that much time to myself. Your conscience is telling you that's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. In your conscience, Romans 9:1 is the voice of the Holy Ghost. He's the one telling you that's wrong. And you're resisting Him. When you resist Him, you're resisting God. What kind of a fool would resist God? Let me read something to you. Proverbs chapter 29. Somebody go in their Bible. We're going to sing a song and be dismissed. Somebody go in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 29. I'm going to just read something to you here. Amen. You getting anything out of this morning? We're not going to be part of the dirty church. Amen? Hallelujah. Who's got Proverbs 29:1 in their Bible that can loan it to me right now? Hallelujah. Who's quick on the draw today? Hallelujah. We got right here. Jerome, where is yours? Is this King James?
Yes.
29. Let's see here. Verse 1. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. He that is often reproved by the Holy Ghost within, often reproved, and hardens his neck, or stiffens his neck, I won't do it, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Thank you, Jerome. Let me just read that to you in the Message Bible. For people who hate discipline and only get more and more stubborn, there'll come a day when life tumbles in, and they'll break. But by then, it'll be too late. That's what happened to Saul. You know what Saul said to David at the end of his life? In 1 Samuel 26:21, he said, I've played the fool. I have erred tragically. Because he didn't listen to the voice of conscience. He kept making compromises and blaming everything and everyone else but himself. Amen? Say it with me. I am not a rebel.
I will walk with God
according to His Word. Not my word.
His word.
In Jesus' name.
In